John Yale, Ethan Sternke, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
So your own passions for card games have caused you to invent one, a super spy thriller, in fact, called Intel. Congratulations.
Thank you.
In a word, what kind of a rush is this?
Super exciting.
Yeah, it's really motivating. Yeah, we've been making card games since we were kids, and they've always been really complicated, usually board games that, you know, our parents would suffer through. But now that we're older and we understand it a little bit better, we've been honing it to a more basic thing. It's really exciting.
And by your own accounts, this all started with a summer road trip. So you're blaming necessity for this invention?
Yeah, so it was me and Alex. We were on a road trip this summer. And one of the days we were just having a 10-hour drive through Idaho and desert, basically. So about halfway through the day, you know, I was getting bored. We were getting tired. I just turned to Alex and was like, you want to come up with a card game? And he was like, sure. So then we just started talking about the game. And we kind of got the concept for this game almost in 30 minutes.
That's fantastic. You're certainly used to playing games, and sounds like the three of you have been friends and maybe partners in game playing crime for quite some time.
Yes.
And this inherent passion for games, fair and square, you've had it since you were kids. Why cards? Why spies? What nurtured these attractions in your competitive spirits enough that you would actually make the game up for it?
I think we were kind of drawn to card games because it's just so simple. And when it comes to manufacturing and developing it, all it is just cards. You don't have to deal with a board or a big box or anything. Just the simplicity of it, really. The idea of the agent and spy theme came just from the concept of the game, because the game is social deduction and you're trying to figure out who has what and where the agent card is. So just the idea of the game kind of ties itself with the spy theme.
I get the attraction, yeah, spies and agents and all that kind of stuff. And Ethan, if you've always liked games and you've played them since you were a little kid, risk-taking, is there plenty of that in this game too?
Yes, for sure. Every action you take can have huge consequences on how many points you get at the end and who has what, and every action counts. There's only about 60 turns per game.
Okay, so it is a fast pace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did this quest for more fun, more games in your life, influence college pursuits? It was your senior project, John? Was it just natural to look in this direction?
Yeah, so in August, we came up with the game, and then my senior project class started. And originally, I was working on a different senior project. I was working on a clothing company, trying to design shirts and apparel. But about halfway through the semester, the game started developing more and more, and we were getting really excited about it and thinking this could actually become something real and tangible. So halfway through the semester, I asked my professor if I could change my senior project, and I'm really glad I did, because it really helps kind of hone in time and abilities to really focus on designing everything for the game. Both of my ideas kind of had that business side of it, of selling clothes versus selling games. But what I really like about the game side of things is it's really fun and exciting for everybody that plays, and it always brings people together and makes them happy and excited and gives them a good time.
That's sensible and, of course, kind of what business is all about. And so, most importantly, what do you and your peers look for in a game?
I've been thinking about this recently. I think games are the most interesting when a majority of the rules depend on the people playing it. So if a lot of the interaction happens based on people's choices throughout the game, you know, you can make a game really complicated with different mechanics. There's a finite amount of that. But if you rely on the people playing the game, there's an infinite amount of creativity that can stem from that. And yeah, that's a lot of what we put into this game is your own creative strategic plays.
And that all feeds into the fact that every single game is going to be really different than the game you just played.
Absolutely.
Okay, so personal taste versus marketability, which is what we're talking about here. Did you know from the onset that it had to be a spy game?
Not necessarily. It started out just with the idea of there being a special card that you had to end with at the end of the round. And for simplicity's sake, we just called this the card. But eventually, we added that spy theme to spice things up and make it more marketable.
That's great. Is this all age-friendly? And in fact, who is your target market?
Yeah, it's definitely age-friendly. The good thing about this game is really anybody can play, whether you're really young or really old. There's kind of fits every demographic. Yeah.
I think we have 14 and up on the box just because there's a lot of thinking and strategy involved, but the mechanics are simple enough that anyone can pick it up.
Fantastic. And once you narrowed it down, those basics, how long did it take you to flesh out, well, the whole premise and the hook? And how did you figure out who did what with three of you as partners?
I think it's been about 8 months now since you guys went on that road trip. And honestly, we're still finalizing some of the mechanics. But for the most part, it's pretty evened out. As for like the roles that we all played out to, we all have different personalities and different strengths. And that also translates to what we work best on in the game, what we enjoy most.
Yeah, we've all had a helping hand in coming up with new ideas for the game and coming up with new cards or mechanics for the game. For example, I was working on all the designs for the game, so that's kind of a big part that I played. Ethan did a lot of work in the statistics side of things. We tracked every game that we played, keeping track of who got what points, and if you end with this card, they got this many points. So we were able to look at all the games we played, and maybe we don't need this card, or maybe we need less of these point cards to balance out the game. That was a big part that he played. And then Alex had a big role in the marketing side of things, and blind playtesting with a bunch of different people to see if they understand what's going on and how to play.
Was it an easy concept to teach your market to be able to play then?
I'd say for the most part, although it did make very clear aspects of the game that were complicated or hard to understand for people, and we made sure to smooth those out or make it clear in the instructions.
So the very basic of the very basic setups, what do we need to know just to open the deck and start playing?
The setup is pretty quick, and the games only last about 15 to 20 minutes, so you can play a lot of games really quick. Kind of the core mechanic of the game is there is a card called the Agent, and somebody starts with that card in their hand, and throughout the game, that card will be stolen and taken throughout, you know, other people's hands. The goal of the game is to keep track of where that Agent card is, and at the end of the round, everyone points to who they think ended with the Agent card. And then based on however many people voted, points get distributed differently. But really the main setup of the game is make sure someone starts with the Agent card.
And somebody ends with it, but we don't know who.
Exactly.
Okay, that's quite interesting. Does actually developing and marketing a game like this, sounds fun, by the way, does it force you to a whole new level of appreciation for games and details?
I would say yes, absolutely. Just the fact that we spent 8 months on what I think is a relatively simple card game, it's pretty insane to think about how much work is required to make like a huge board game like Gloomhaven or Pandemic, or even just other ones we've seen on Kickstarter that the campaigns are going right now. It's hard work for sure.
Now, I am kind of curious. In this high-tech electronic gaming world we live in, and wizards and dungeons and dragons and everything else, what's the irresistible appeal of a single deck card game? Are you learning?
I think a tangible card game is really enjoyable, especially now, kind of in the time that we're in with COVID and everything. Just being able to be with people in person, you know, you're not looking at a screen for 3 hours playing a game. You're in person, you're seeing each other's faces, you're having fun, like having a laugh.
And how has that theory and a lot of the details that we've been talking about all played out when you went to gain Kickstarter funding?
We've been talking to a lot of our like friends and family and friends of friends to see if they like the concept of the game. And once it stuck and people got into it, it was very, very fun to play with people sitting across from a table. Especially at the ends of the round, there would often be people standing up and yelling, "Oh, you had this card and you had this card." And yeah, people got excited pretty quickly, and we've had a lot of local support.
And that makes the Kickstart all go better and easier, so much so that you are about at your goal.
Yeah, we actually surpassed our goal on Kickstarter in just 35 hours. And a lot of that was from local support, from friends and family. But now, over the past month that the Kickstarter has been running, we've been getting a lot of support from just random people who happened to come across it on Kickstarter. So that's been really exciting to see the support, not only from the community, but also from just random strangers.
And the process is going as it should, and you are seeing that this has gotten off to a nice Kickstarter, we might say.
Absolutely.
Now, were you surprised at the interest and enthusiasm that you generated?
I was the most skeptical out of the three of us, just maybe to balance things out. I thought we were going to either barely make our goal or just get under it, but we're already at 300% right now. What I didn't expect is how many random people just browsing Kickstarter would get it, especially overseas. We're shipping to like 26 countries at this point once it's ending, so it definitely blew my expectations out of the water.
What about you, John?
Yeah, I was kind of expecting that we'd make our goal maybe 2/3 of the way through, but nothing like the support that we've seen. Yeah, I was expecting maybe 120% funded, but now we're over 300% funded.
Now, by the time folks hear this wonderful conversation about your game, the Kickstarter will be over. So how will they be able to meet the game, get the game, enjoy the game?
You can go to our website, which is intelcardgame.com, and there you can pre-order the game. We are expecting to get all of the decks to us around October. So around that time, we'll be able to ship out Intel, and you should be able to play it by Christmas.
And how do you think social media has and will help you perhaps even more in this endeavor?
We've been focusing a lot on social media. We use Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and that's been good just to kind of engage the community and keep people aware of the game. A lot of our friends are following us, and it's just kind of a way to build up hype and excitement for the game and keep it on people's minds so they'll see the game pop up every now and then and it'll remind them of the game and keep their interest.
And how exciting is this part of the process?
It's one of my favorites, just seeing how many different people and faces are excited to play the game, asking questions, engaging with content.
So what's next for you three? Are there any new games on the horizon?
We've been toying with a few very basic ideas. The ones we have right now, I don't know if will become games, but we're always thinking of different ideas. And considering how successful this one was, I definitely think we could ride that wave and set something else up sometime in the future.
Is it safe to say that the development part of the process, and maybe even including merch and whatever else, is appealing to you? This might be your new game?
Yeah, I've always really been drawn to kind of the marketing side of things, especially with a graphic design background, being able to make something, but also have people get excited about it and want to buy it and play it and wear it, whatever it may be. So just that aspect of it, creating something and designing something and having people get excited and interact with it.
Yeah, and for me, the mechanics of the game are the most interesting. I find it really fascinating that you can change one little rule and it can completely change how people play the game and what strategies emerge. I love developing games in that way.
And last question, guys, how has this whole adventure changed the way you guys spend your own free time, including or maybe especially just playing games?
So especially with the Kickstarter going up before the Kickstarter started, we spent a lot of our free time working on that and getting everything all set up and ready. So it's been a big time commitment to make the game. But also when it comes to just playing games, we've noticed that we just play Intel all the time. You know, we used to get together and play other board games or card games and just kind of mix it up every time. But now, not only because we're testing the game, but also just because we love it that much and it's really fun, we just always play Intel together.
Yeah, I think the whole process has been a really interesting look into like creative fulfillment for me, because I've spent, I think, every weekend for the past 8 months working on this at least a little bit. And sometimes I find it exhausting. I'm like, man, more Intel stuff to do. It's something that's hard when I look at it in the face, but looking back, I'm really glad I did that over just watching TV or playing another video game.
John Yale and Ethan Sternke, along with Alex Shin, are co-creators of Intel, a strategic and exciting new card game. Guys, thank you for sharing this crazy fun story with us. May the whole world win.
Thanks.
Thank you.